This is Gavel to Gavel Alaska, a service of public television station KTOO in Juneau.
I'm around to just chat for a minute. Why don't you call the roll? I think we have a quorum, and I think we have a pretty pro forma agenda here. And Senator Davis is in the room with me, and I might pass over to her a list of the motions. Since she's on site here, and we can just kind of start business.
Okay. Taking the roll, Senator Elton.
Here.
Senator Cowdery. Senator Davis.
Here.
Senator Green.
Here.
Senator Hoffman. Senator Stevens.
Here.
Senator Wilkins. Representative Dahlstrom. Representative Coghill.
Here.
Representative Harris. Representative Samuels. Representative Stoltz.
Here.
Representative Wilson.
Here.
Representative Guttenberg.
Here.
8 members present.
We have a quorum, a bare quorum, and Pam, why don't you begin by describing the second item on the agenda, the bid for the installation of lighting and wall finishes in the House and Senate chambers.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yes, ITB 475 was opened just a few minutes ago. We did receive 4 bids. Our low bidder is McGraw Custom Construction, Inc. for $465,000. Our second bidder was Alaska Commercial Contractors, Inc. Actually, McGraw Construction was from Sitka. Alaska Commercial Contractors from Juneau bid $470,673. North Pacific Erectors from Douglas bid $476,687. And Silver Bow Construction from Juneau bid $574,900. We do have existing capital, legislative capital funds, and it's good that our low bidder is McGraw Construction, Custom Construction, in that they are the contractor presently doing the fire alarm and sprinkler project, so we won't have two contractors getting in each other's way. And the entire ceiling has been taken out of both the House and Senate chambers. We just have some temporary lights up. The desks are being protected now. Senate Rules was kind enough to approve some long lead items, the lighting pendants, and this is a two-phase project, one to get the lighting done before January. They have a finish date, I believe. Dawn, isn't it December 31st? It is December 31st. Session starts on January 20th, and then the second phase is to do the wall finishes, and there will be some sconces on the wall finishes along the side of the chambers, and that will happen after the conclusion of the first session of the 26th legislature, and I'd be glad to answer any questions.
Are there questions for Pam?
Pam, you said, this is John Coghill. Pam, you said that you just opened this other bid. Was there an issue with any particular bid that was looking for time or something? Because I think you had an idea earlier on, didn't you, on some of these other bids?
I'm not sure of your question.
I see. You just opened up all bids this afternoon.
That is correct.
And was the timing, the question is, I thought you had some that you knew that were going to do bidding earlier than getting information today. And so I guess I was thinking you only just got one today, but it was just the opening today. I'm sorry.
Yes, we did have a mandatory site visit a week or so ago. So that the contractors, we make sure that the contractors see just what the project involves. But With an ITV, we state the time and that the bid is going to be open, and that was at 1:30, and time is of the essence, and Senator Elton was kind enough, and all of you, to get together so that we can proceed on this project and get it done in a timely manner.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. One other question. We have a tight timeline. Is there a penalty provision that begins to kick in after December 31st?
Just a moment. I'll see if we do. If we did put in some. It's a 51-page document. Just a second. I want to see if we have those penalties in there. Remember what page that is? Page 9. Okay. Where does it show the amount? There are liquidated damages. Let's see. There are liquidated damages, and not sure if we assess that as a... Oh, it's a daily charge of $550.
Okay, just... That'll help me understand a little better if we start running over what we can do to rush things a little bit or push them.
Right. Yes, it depends on the contract amount. If it's 0 to 100,000, it's 300 a day, and 100,000 to 500,000, it's 550 a day.
Okay.
And that's on page 10 of our invitation to bid.
Thank you.
Are there any other questions? I would note for the record that we have been joined by Representative Dahlstrom, the Vice Chair.
Thank you.
Any other questions of the Council or of Legislative Affairs staff? Hearing none, for the first item on the agenda, the lighting and wall finishing House and Senate chamber, since we're on teleconference, could you call the roll, Pam?
Yes. Senator Elton.
Yes.
Senator Davis.
Yes.
Senator Green.
Yes.
Senator Stevens.
Yes.
Representative Dahlstrom.
Yes.
Representative Coghill.
Yes.
Representative Stoltz.
No.
Representative Wilson.
Yes.
Representative Guttenberg.
Yes.
8 yeas, 1 nay. Didn't Representative Stoltz, did you say no? I couldn't really understand whether that was a yay or a nay.
Yeah, no means no.
Oh, okay, good. All right, thank you. So that is correct. 8 yeas, 1 nay.
So the motion passes. The next item on the agenda is the authorization of releasing the confidential component of the Legislative Council investigators report to Mr. Tim Petuminus. There was a telephone call between Mr. Petuminus, who is the contract investigator. His job essentially is to stand in lieu of the Attorney General in the complaint that has been filed with the Personnel Board. He has when he phoned, he requested a copy of the confidential component. I had a conversation with Legislative Legal. I think Pam Finley is available if there are any questions. I would note for the record that we told him we would add this to the agenda after consultation with Tam Cook. She said that it is a council document. It would take a vote of the council to release the confidential component. Mr. Petuminus, in his follow-up letter to us, acknowledged that he understood the confidential nature of it and also said that he operates under the same rules of confidentiality when it comes to personnel records and workers' comp records as the Legislative Council did. So with that brief explanation, is there a discussion of the request to release the confidential report to Mr. Petuminus?
This is John Coghill.
Representative Coghill.
Mr. Chairman, state for me again, is he, you say he's working for the Attorney General's office. with regard to what authority? I mean, is he the governor's counsel, or is he doing it for the Attorney General legal department, or is it because of the personnel board? Can you help me understand that?
Yes, I can, and we may we may want to kick this also to Ms. Finley in the in the conference room in Juneau. My understanding is that Alaska Statutes 3952.310 outlines the procedure for the processing of complaints against the governor. That of course is the component of the Alaska Executive Branch Ethics Act. And the Ethics Act provides that when a complaint is made against the governor, that the personnel board can hire or should hire an investigator who stands in the place of the attorney general. My assumption, although it's not spelled out in law, my assumption is so that removes any appearance of a conflict. So under the Executive Branch Ethics Act, when it comes to a complaint against the governor, you essentially substitute the words special investigator for the words attorney general. That's the way the law works. If you need a more detailed explanation, perhaps Ms. Finley can help us out, Representative Coghill.
Okay, that's sufficient for me. I just wanted to know kind of what direction it was heading. That helps me.
Yeah. Any further discussion? Are we ready for a motion? Pam, could you call the roll?
Mr. Chairman, I don't...
Wait, we need to make a motion.
Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move that Legislative Council release to the Alaska Personnel Board Independent Counsel for use under Alaska Statute 39.52 the confidential portion of the report Legislative Council received from Mr. Branchflower on October 10, 2008. This release is conditioned upon the Personnel Board's agreement to keep confidential these portions those portions of the Branchflower report that are made confidential by law.
Pam, could you call the roll?
I have a question, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Is that Representative Stoltz?
Stoltz, yeah. This is just releasing the investigator. Does this also go to the attorneys representing the governor? I just need clarity on that.
This release and the motion to make the release releases it only to the independent counsel.
Okay.
I object for a question. This is Peggy. In our documentation that we got via the email, it says that how the documents received would be used, and that's just so that they don't have to go into all the 9 yards that Branchflower had to go into, right?
I hesitate, Representative Wilson, to speak on behalf of Mr. Petuminus. I will tell you that in the phone conversation that I had with his office, what they expressed to me and was further expressed in the letter is that it would save them an awful lot of spade work, and they would be able to he would try to integrate the information and the confidential component into the work that he is doing. By no means did he suggest that this would be a function where they just Xerox it and forward that as their recommendation. This would be part of his investigatory review.
Okay, thank you.
This is David with a question.
Representative Guttenberg.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Again, who has the final say in releasing the documents if there's waivers from all parties? Would it be him, or would he have to come back to the Ledge Council for permission?
Representative Guttenberg, the motion that we made, and I'm going to pull it back here in front of me, the motion that we made is the confidential portion of the report is released conditioned upon the personnel board's agreement to keep confidential those portions of the report that are made confidential by law. So what we are doing is we are authorizing the release to Mr. Petuminus and to the personnel board and to nobody else.
Okay, so my question is, in the course of his investigation, which most of the work is done by us handing them this document, I would assume. But if the public or somebody or if he receives waivers of confidentiality from the parties, he be authorized by releasing of those confidentialities to release the report, or would it still be up to us to authorize that?
I think I'm going to feel more comfortable if Pam Finley answers that question, but and Pam can correct me if I'm wrong. My understanding is we are waiving confidentiality for this one instance, and that does not allow them to waive confidentiality on behalf of the council. Is that correct, Pam?
This is Pam Finley. I think if that is the intent, it should be clearly stated in the motion. Otherwise, there is a certain ambiguity. The way the confidentiality statutes work is that if what we have said that is that if something is confidential by law, it has to remain confidential. For instance, the personnel records are confidential. Let us say that everyone concerned waives the rights to the personnel records. Those then could be released, as we have stated the motion so far. So if the intent is to require the if the intent is to say that anything that we are releasing cannot be released to the public without our additional approval, in other words, our approval in the future, that should be stated in this motion, and I don't think it quite has been.
Pam, this is Senator Elton again. Would we remove the ambiguity if after the last sentence, which reads, "This release is conditioned upon the personnel board's agreement to keep confidential those portions of the Branchflower report that are made confidential by law." If we added a sentence that simply said, release by the personnel board is otherwise prohibited?
Well, the problem there is I'm not sure that it stays as a confidential once. Hello?
Senator Green, is that you?
No, excuse me.
Shall I go ahead?
please do, Pam.
The problem here, this is a bigger problem. The personnel board has its own confidentiality statutes that it's working under, and its report is confidential up to a certain point. And at that point would be basically a contested case. Certainly, if this goes to a hearing and the governor objects to the accusations made by the personnel board at a hearing, then things are going to become a little more public, at least potentially. Personnel records would still be confidential, but that confidentiality could be waived. And as I understood Representative Guttenberg's question, it was assuming that there was a waiver which would make these records public, would they then be available to be made public? And there's nothing that I can see that would stop them from being, if there were a proper waiver.
So Pam, would that waiver require the consent then of every person, including those people who in their affidavits or interrogatories or their interviews talked about information that was in the personnel records or workers' comp records?
Not necessarily their approval. It would require the approval of the people, of the person whose personnel records were being talked about.
Okay. Pam, I'm going to ask a favor of you. I'd like to move on to item number 3, and while we do item number 3, if you could come up with a sentence addition to the motion we can come back to item number two on the agenda.
Mr. Chairman, on that point?
Yes.
I think I'm comfortable with just the original motion, and frankly, if there's going to be freedom of information and lawsuits, I just assume the personnel board have to defend them.
Is this Representative Stoltz?
Stoltz, I'm sorry.
Yeah. Okay.
And that's, I'd like to err on the side of the public's right, and I think they have confidentiality statutes. I'd rather rest them on ours, than rest on those, and try to create another barrier through even perception.
Okay, Representative Stoltz, your point is well taken.
David Guttenberg again. I was not going to make the motion. I just wanted to understand what the situation was.
Let's do this, and Representative Stoltz, your point is taken. Let's move on to item number three, and then we can have a discussion that gets to your issue, Representative Stoltz, if, in fact, Pam comes up with an additional sentence. Is that okay with everybody? Hearing no objection, let's move on to item number three, the Kodiak lease space. Pam, do you want to speak briefly to it?
Yes. Thank you, Senator Elton. The agency issued RFP 455 November 16, 2007. Legislative Council awarded new Kodiak space January 31, 2008. We withdrew that offer because the landlord would not sign the lease agreement. He had not complied with the remodel schedule. He wanted to extend the move-in date and was asking for an increase above what he bid, and we just couldn't do that. So we did cancel that contract offer with them. We are currently in space with Cherrier King and Cherrier. Some adjacent space to where we are became available. We're in 1,200 square feet right now, and it's too small and lacks privacy for our legislators and LIO staff. And the offer by Cherrier King and Cherrier is for $2.05 a square foot for 2,710 square feet, and the agency would be responsible for the leasehold improvements. And we're recommending that this is in the agency's best interest for council to approve this lease for the next 5 years.
And Pam, do the members from Kodiak agree with your assessment?
Yes, we've been consulting with Senator Stevens. We had consulted before with Representative Ledoux, but she is not going to be in office next year. So we've been checking with our LIO staff and with Senator Stevens.
Okay, thanks. Are there further questions from members of the council?
Yeah. Senator, this is Gary Stevens. I'd like to make a brief comment about that. I really appreciate Pam's willingness to work with these guys that really didn't never follow through and did what they had planned to do. This would allow us to just expand the space we're in and allow us to move some offices into an area that's not underground. So I particularly look forward to that.
Okay, any further comments? With that, Senator Stevens has the last word. Pam, or I need a motion.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move that Legislative Council approve a five-year lease for our Kodiak space with Cherrier King Interior for a yearly total of $66,666.
Thank you. Pam, can you call the roll?
Senator Elton.
Yes.
Senator Davis.
Yes.
Senator Green.
Yes.
Senator Stevens.
Yes.
Representative Dahlstrom.
Yes.
Representative Coghill.
Yes.
Representative Stoltz.
Yes.
Representative Wilson.
Yes.
Representative Guttenberg.
Yes.
9 yeas, no nays.
Thank you. The motion passes. Pam, are you back at the table?
Yes, Senator. This is Pam Finley.
Pam, in the interim here, have you had a chance to consider additional language to the second motion or to the second item on the agenda?
Well, I have, but it depends on what the council wants to do as to what the appropriate language would be.
The language that is currently in the motion would, I believe, in my opinion at least, allow waivers by the people who had a right to keep that information confidential. When we could say that that the release is conditioned on the personnel board's agreement to keep confidential all of the material and the confidential, or you could simply say all of the material being released, which means that they would have to keep it confidential. I'm not sure that they could take it under those circumstances. Mr. Petuminus would be the one to say, but there, once there is a contested case, if you were in a hearing where information is going to be used, kind of like a trial, then the restriction to keep it confidential might make it impossible for him to use that material, and therefore it wouldn't help him.
Well, I think I'm going to ask the council. Representative Guttenberg raised the question. Ms. Finley has talked about a potential problem. Representative Stoltz has said that he thinks we ought to err on the side of making it public if, in fact, that was something the personnel board wanted to do. I guess I need to know before we start messing around with a motion. I mean, how strongly people feel does the language proposed in the motion, and I'll have the maker of the motion read it again here in a second. If members are comfortable with the wording of the motion, I think we ought to just move the motion. If there is any doubt about this, I think then we can try wordsmithing. But I don't know if that's necessary. So, Representative Dahlstrom, if you could read the motion again.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move that Legislative Council release to the Alaska Personnel Board Independent Council for use under Alaska Statute 39.52 the confidential portion of the report Legislative Council received from Mr. Branchflower on October 10, 2008. This release is conditioned upon the Personnel Board's agreement to keep confidential those portions of the Branchflower report that are made confidential by law.
I guess to start this, I mean, I'm comfortable with Representative Stoltz's comfort level, and if is there anybody that is not comfortable with the motion as it is presented?
Mr. Chairman?
Senator Davis.
I think I feel comfortable with the motion the way it is because the way I understand what she read, we're releasing the report to the independent investigator based upon the fact that the personnel board is going to agree that it remain confidential. It's not going to be released to the full board. It's just going to be for his use. Is that not right?
Yeah, Senator Davis, I think there is a question. It does say this release is conditioned upon the personnel board's agreement to keep confidential.
It says up on their release that they agree that it will be confidential. It says who we're giving it to, and it does not say the personnel board.
I think that's correct. Is there further discussion?
Mr. Chairman, Bill Stoltz.
Representative Stoltz.
Yeah, I object to that, the conditional part of it. I think it's already, well, I've already stated my point on that, so I'd like to vote for the motion to release it, so I guess I'd make a motion to delete, I don't have it right in front of me, but I know what I just heard. I'd like to delete the last sentence, the conditional language.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, I don't know who that is.
It's Ryder Green.
Senator Green.
Yeah, and on that point, I think the efforts and all taken by the investigator and our review of it in Ledge Council was pretty clear on the fact that the, quote, red report was confidential, the green report not confidential. And perhaps there could be language in there that you would have to come back to the Ledge Council for a full release before the public release of that whole report. Otherwise, why didn't we just release it? there were certain things in there that are not supposed to be released, period.
I'm sorry, Representative Dolson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So if we were to add a sentence that said any further release must be approved by Legislative Council, would that take care of?
I think that addresses Senator Green's.
Yeah, that would take care of mine. I don't know how other people feel about it.
Hey, Mr. Chairman, Bill Stoltz again.
Representative Stoltz.
Yeah, I made the motion. I mean, we wordsmith it, but that ought to go through other forms of motions. I view this as the same if we're giving it to our ombudsman. I think we have some implied and statutory guaranteed processes that I'm comfortable with. I think it's a similar type dynamic.
Yeah, Representative Stoltz, I mean, in response to your concern, and I don't know if this alleviates it or not, but what the motion does is it just says that those parts that must remain confidential by law shall be kept confidential. And the law on confidentiality on those components is the same for the Personnel Board as it is for us. I mean, that's the reason we had the second volume is because there were confidential issues that could not be released. And so I guess that's just a point that I'm making. I don't know if it's compelling to you.
Well, Kim, I'm satisfied with whatever the committee wants. It doesn't.
I'm going to ask Representative Dahlstrom to read the motion again with the additional sentence that she suggested.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move that Legislative Council release to the Alaska Personnel Board Independent Council for use under Alaska Statute 39.52 the confidential portion of the report Legislative Council received from Mr. Branchflower on October 10, 2008. This release is conditioned upon the Personnel Board's agreement to keep confidential those portions of the Branchflower report that are made confidential by law. Any further release or disclosure must be brought before the Legislative Council.
I think we have tied our shoes in a double knot with the additional language. Is there further discussion?
Mr. Chairman, this is Representative Coghill.
Representative Coghill.
I don't know that we need to tie our shoes that tight. If somebody who was interviewed wants to make a release, they have to come before the council to get that release? Is that what I understand?
No, excuse me, Mr. Chairman. If anyone wants to release their information, they can release their information. If an individual wants to release it.
All right. That's what I wanted to make clear, that our holding it in our hands doesn't require anybody to come before us before they can release that confidential part if they are the ones that were interviewed. So, yeah. That was my question.
Representative Coghill, this is directly to your point. As you remember, Mr. Branchflower had a conditional waiver that from an at-interest person, and that person was able to waive confidentiality.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure that applies across the board.
Okay. All right. I'll go along.
Is there further discussion? Hearing none, Pam, can you call the roll?
Senator Elton.
Yes.
Senator Davis.
Yes.
Senator Green.
Yes.
Senator Stevens.
Yes.
Representative Dahlstrom.
Yes.
Representative Coghill.
Yes.
Representative Stoltz. Representative Stoltz. Representative Wilson.
Yes.
Representative Guttenberg.
Yes.
8 yeas, no nays.
The motion passes. Is there further business? Hearing none, I want to thank everybody for their indulgence. I certainly do not anticipate having a meeting a week, and in that light, I wish everybody a very happy holiday season, and we'll only get together if absolutely necessary.
Thank you.
Thank you, Kim.
Thank you all.
Bye-bye.
Good job, Kim.
We're adjourned.